Are you in exile this morning? Maybe there is only one word that can summarize the kind of life that you're living right now at this very moment. Perhaps the last several days have reminded you of how tough life is and how hard it is to live in this world and in this community. Perhaps you start with the grand vision of looking around the world around you and seeing all the hate and all the violence and all the rhetoric that is so stinging to our community. Perhaps you see all of the bad things that are going on in the world and you think it is tough to live in days like this. Perhaps you are in spiritual exile this morning. Perhaps you find yourself in a time right now when God seems very distant from you because all of those promises that you thought would come true just haven't just yet. Maybe there are doubts, maybe there are emotions in your life that seem to disenfranchise you from the God who said that you are loved. And maybe you feel the loneliness and despair of a person who uses one word to describe his situation. And that word is exile, a place of aloneness and fear. You need to know that there was a group of people long ago who felt the exact same exile feeling that you did. Those were the exiles, the people of Israel who were forced to move from their homeland, away from their temple, away from all they felt was secure, away from their home, and lived in a foreign land, where they were forced to adapt to a different culture, to even worship a different God. And they felt like God had forsaken them, that they were alone and confused, and the problems that they were facing were too great for them to bear. And where was God? You need to know that if you are in a feeling of exile this morning, there have been those who have gone before you who have felt the same way and hear the word of hope that God had given to them on one glorious day. God told the exiles, "You can come home now. You can come home. Your captors have been defeated. The Babylonian Empire has been crushed. And now the gates are open wide for you to return to that place of security and promise that you call home." After 70 years of being in exile in Babylon, the children of Israel finally got to go back to their temple, to their homeland, to their place of birth. They got to go back to God's embrace. And that is the word that is available for you this morning as well. Come home. You who feel exiled, come home. Because God has opened wide the gates for you to return to that place of security. Through the death and life and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been given new hope and new joy and new love. You have been made into a new creature. And you can now come home. You want to hear the story about the exiles? A good place to look is in the book of Nehemiah. Because here were these Israelites who came home and found that the place that they had lived was now in shambles. The walls were destroyed, the temple was ruined, and all that they had was gone. And as tough as it was to rebuild their buildings and their structures, it was even tougher to rebuild their lives. And as we near the end of the book of Nehemiah, after Nehemiah had rebuilt these great walls around the city of Jerusalem, after all the structures were now in place and rebuilt, the people asked themselves, well, what about our lives? How do we rebuild our lives? What then, how then shall we live? And in that passage that we read this morning, Nehemiah calls on Ezra, keeper of the law, to stand before all the people at this one gate and address all the people who were asking that question, what are we going to do now? How then shall we live? Do you remember what he did? He read the law. He read the law of Moses that was given to the Israelites to remind them of who they were, their identity, the commandments that were set before them, and asked them to remember who they were, God's chosen people. And that is the word that is for you this morning. If you are wondering, how do I rebuild my life? How do I return from exile? How do I truly come home? God says to you, remember who you are. Remember your core identity. Remember that I have chosen you. And remember that because I have chosen you, you can rebuild your life. And Nehemiah gives three specific ways to the people in the passage this morning as to how to remember who you are and how to return from exile. The first comes in Nehemiah's words in verse 10. He says, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, celebrate, be grateful. What an amazing word. He says, have a feast. Remember all of the things that God has given you. Don't think about all the things that you don't have. Think about all the things that you do have. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the wine, have a celebration, have a feast. Think for a moment about all that God has given you. I'm thankful, as I'm sure we all are, of Tom's words, who reminded us of all the things that we take for granted in our lives, all of those special blessings that we forget about, all of those things that should give us reason to eat the fat and drink the wine or even kill the hogs this morning. Nehemiah says, celebrate. Have a good time despite all that's going wrong in your life. You heard of Leo Buscaglia? He's a popular author who tells a story about one day when his mother prepared a special meal for their family. It was a time of great distress for Leo's family because his father came home one night and said that finances have been tough because he was going to have to declare bankruptcy. Turns out that his fellow co-owners of his company were swindling money from him, and now he was left with absolutely nothing. The company was in shambles, it was out of his hands, and now he wasn't sure how his family was going to survive. Do you know what Leo Buscaglia's mother did? That very same night when her husband came home with the news, she went to the local pawn shop. She sold some of the jewelry that she had and used the money from that jewelry to prepare a sumptuous, sumptuous feast. The most delicious feast that family had ever had. Other members of the family criticized her, said that's a silly thing to do. You need to save that money. You're not going to have any money tomorrow because of all this money that you've blown on this feast. And do you know what she said? She told them that the time for joy is now, when we need it most, not next week. The time for joy is now, not next week. Maybe there are some of you who are going through problems in your life and the last thing you want to do is celebrate. The last thing you want to do is be grateful. But you need to know that celebration is a gift from God. A gift for you to use when you need it most, not to stock up and save for tomorrow when you don't need it. What are those things in your life that will give you joy when you remember and be grateful for them? One of my favorite singer-songwriters is Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he writes a wonderful song. It's called What Kind of Joy? And it goes, what kind of joy is this that counts it a blessing to suffer? What kind of joy is this that gives the prisoner his song? What kind of joy could stare death in the face and see it as sweet victory? This is the joy of a soul that is forgiven and free. Number two. Nehemiah first tells the people, celebrate God's goodness to you. Number two, he says, share it with others. If you want to return from exile and rebuild your life, then share what you have with other people. Here's another story. A story about a man who was living with his family in their home, and the home had started to come to some disrepair. Some of the blinds on the windows were starting to fall apart. And he decided one day that I've had enough, I have to have these blinds repaired, some of these Venetian blinds that were hanging in the house. So he called a local repairman to come and repair the Venetian blinds. The problem is, he didn't tell his wife that the man was coming the next morning. And so there was the family the next morning gathered at the breakfast table, and the doorbell rings. And the wife gets up and goes to the front door, and there is this repairman standing in the doorway. And the man says, I'm here for the Venetian blind. And the woman pauses and thinks for a moment, and then shakes her head approvingly, and then reaches in her pocket, pulls out a couple dollar bills, plunges it in the man's hand, and shuts the door. The wife comes back to the breakfast table, and the husband said, "Well, who was it?" And the wife said, "Oh, well, that was just someone collecting for the Venetian blind, but don't worry, I've taken care of it." Think about it, you'll get it. It'll come to you. God calls us to give of ourselves to those who don't have any. He says, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and then send portions of that to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord." If you want to regain a sense of fulfillment and joy in your life, a sense of being home again in the kingdom of God, then help rebuild the kingdom. Celebrate God's goodness and then share it with others. Give of yourself to those whom God has seen as needy. You know John Wesley? One of the things that he said before he died, he said when he dies, he wants to be buried knowing that he only had 10 pounds to his name. 10 pounds to his name. All of his other possessions, all of his worldly wealth, he wanted to know it went to the poor, to the oppressed, to those who didn't have any, so that when he died, all he had was 10 pounds. His example should serve us well. Number 3, after you celebrate and after you share with others, Nehemiah encourages the people to have strength. He says, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Remember that the life of the Christian is one of joy, not sorrow. It is true that we have problems that we face, some problems that other people will never have to face. But the Christian life is not marked by sorrow. It is marked by joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The smile of God upon you can give you hope. The warmth of God's embrace can give you peace. The touch of God's hand upon your shoulder can give you endurance and strength for the days that lie ahead. This week marks the beginning of our stewardship campaign. And I would really like for you to think of this campaign not as a pitch for money, not as a fundraising effort to meet the church's budgetary goals, but a time for you, in your own private way, to think about first the ways that God has been good to you and celebrate that and be grateful for it. And let that be the motivation for your giving, not to the church, not to the budget, but to God, the God who loves you and cares for you and wants you to have a grateful heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us be grateful this morning because those of us who are exiled have been called home. And we have been called to celebrate, to eat the fat and drink the wine, and to be grateful for all of God's goodness. And we have been called to share that goodness and that great celebration with other people. And let us remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. How has God led you back from exile? How will you respond? How then shall you live? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.